Hi, this is Luna, and you're listening to the new episode of Late Nights by Luna Manila. On this episode, our guest, Chris Galicia Brown, talked about how she found her career path through her creativity, how she found the opportunity from baking to becoming an author, and raised thousands, and I mean 35,000 Instagram followers waiting for her recipes every day, and that's including me, or her guide on finding the best food in town. She is indeed an influencer in the food and community realm. If you are new to this podcast, one of our goals is to spread and build awareness by interviewing people who are experts in their field and passionate about their advocacies. If you want to know how to find out where you're good at and monetize your creative outlet, listen to this episode. Hi, Ate Chris.
Hi.
Hi again. Thank you for guesting. Finally, I've been meaning to invite you for a long time, but then I was like, what's going to be the perfect topic for her? And finally, I found one, and you're free to share your time with us today. So thank you for guesting to Late Nights by Luna Manila podcast. So yeah, I want to start with, so a lot of people, they struggle when it comes to finding out where you're good at. We all have passion about something, whether it's about creating arts, making food, making music, or dancing. However, a person does not only, I mean, a passion does not always equate to skill or talent, or sometimes not enough to turn it into a career. And in this time of crisis, a lot of people lost their jobs and they are starting to rely or assess themselves, figuring out where they are good at. Some discover they can bake and make business out of it. I know a barista who lost his job and now was able to set up a mobile cafe using his bicycle. And while some are still having a hard time discovering where they're good at, or if they do, or once they find that out or figure it out, some are struggling to finish what they started. It's like they're stuck developing these newly discovered skills. For someone like you, who does multiple things as a consultant, proprietor, author, philanthropist, I want to talk about finding out where you're good at, developing and maintaining them. How do we become agile during pandemic, from planning to execution? I guess I want to start by asking you, have you always known where you're good at?
No. I always knew that I had the drive to climb. So what my life looks like right now is very different from what I thought it would be when I was younger. I thought that I would be, you know, in a suit, top floor, corner office, glass windows, you know, working for corporate,
yeah,
right? Like going up the social ladder, but that's, you know, wasn't really truly the case. Like, even though I had a big struggle with that for a really long time. And I really love, you know, like the rest of the world, seeing stories about people who are super resilient, you know, in times of this pandemic, right? So they have lost their jobs, they're doing whatever their passion is and discovering really what that means to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding some kind of way to, you know, take that further. For me, my everything, so I'm considered a serial entrepreneur because there's a lot of things that I do and I just kind of take one thing and I take off with it and see where it goes. So the way that, you know, even that for me isn't typical. But so like the people in the pandemic now, I lost my job when our economy, the US economy, collapsed in 2008. So, you know, everything was kind of went down the toilet then. And so I was a new mom, you know, I took the layoff because it was safer than trying to stay at a job with a baby, you know, all this stuff, right? And then I started baking and it became a creative outlet for me. So I was working at an ad agency. I was an art director, creative director. It was a really small shop. And so, you know, that just kind of like snowballed into a cake pop business, which led to a book deal and then like contracts to write, you know, for other blogs and things like that. So I didn't even know that I was good at that or I would enjoy it. I just was terrible at baking and I wanted to get better at it. Well, food has always been a passion, you know, because like all Filipinos, right? Like it's just,
yeah,
part of the mix, like the parties, the food, like all of that, you know. I also worked at a resort through college and we had three restaurants that I worked there for 5 years. So I worked pretty much everywhere there and I was exposed to a whole lot of different food and all those stuff. But yeah, so that's how the baking started for me, which I didn't know I was good at.
Yes, I was actually going to ask you about that. Like, did you go to a formal school? But finding out or hearing it right now, so you did not. Like, it was all just passion.
Yeah. So my background is I have a bachelor's degree in advertising and design. So not just the business aspect of advertising, but also the creative aspect. So I was formally trained. I went to art school. So I was formally trained in digital arts and photography, pretty much realizing now, like my whole school career was setting me up to be self-standing. So seeing things, you know, like Steve Jobs, you know, he says, like, when you look back in your life, it's just like kind of puzzle pieces that take you, that really lead you to your ideal place. You just have to learn how to listen to it and, you know, kind of go with where you feel you can be most authentic and show up for yourself and not for somebody else.
I love that you mentioned that. But I got curious. I want to go back to the baking.
Yeah.
Why cake pops?
Because I saw a picture. Like it was Hello Kitty cake pops. And I was like, I can make that. Like it's cute. I could do it for her first birthday. And then I did, and it turned out really good. And I just posted pictures. And then, you know, I did another batch of just regular round cake pops. Yeah. But then friends and, you know, some family were like, well, I'll pay you, like, if you can make that.
How long did you, how long were you doing it before you landed making a book out of it?
So I started in 2009 and then I had my second daughter in 2010, in the summer of 2010. And 2011 is when I did my business filings and all of that. And so I was already kind of in and out of it, you know, for a year and a half, I would say, before I really formally said, before I accepted that this is what it was going to be. And
yeah,
because I had a struggle with that too, you know, so I was like, what am I doing? Like,
I should
be going to like an office job, right? Like,
but you were, you mentioned about you thought that you're going to be on your suit and working on a, you know, building and being all that corporate. Was it because that was your definition of career of success at that time?
Yeah. 100%. I felt that that's what success embodied, you know, to be dressed up and have a fancy office and a fancy car. But it's so weird, like how it just takes you, you know, like in a realer path. Like now looking back, I think I would have been pretty miserable, like, you know, not fully. I mean, I probably would have loved, like, you know, having a shit ton of money, but not, you know, not, I wouldn't feel as fulfilled as I do right now.
Yeah. Can you take me to the journey where, so you started baking, right? Mm-hmm. And then how did you become like, would you say that you're a food blogger? Is it a blogger or?
It's kind of complicated. So I think I've always had like a really good palate for flavors, and just the way I like weird combinations. So I'm very, you know, I go to the far reaches to make things like really weird but works, you know,
kind of. I know there's a
it makes it more interesting. And then, you know, but yeah, I think it just, it has always, I just have a knack for that. Mm. And like the skills, all of that, I just kind of learned on my own. My dad was a cook in the Navy. And so basic knife skills, like names of like how things are cut, stuff like that, like I learned from him.
I'm curious to ask, have you had any passion that you thought will flourish into a career? Like passion?
Design was always in the forefront of everything. And it still is. I think that's the foundation, you know, like the aesthetic of things. Even past the way something looks, but more of like the feeling of being in a room per se, you know. Mm. But yeah, design. I thought I was going to be an architect. I thought I was going to be a magazine publisher. I thought I was going to be, it was always sort of in that realm. And then it just, you know, I took, actually now that I'm saying it out loud, it's just making sense to me. But so it's like, you know, I kind of that, like the design aspect and then the food aspect and then just kind of merging it together.
Yeah.
And then that started with the baking and the cake pops. So.
Yeah, do you still have that, like maybe in the future I can still pursue any of that or like architecture or something?
I don't have that need. If there was an opportunity that fell in my lap where it was set up that I could collaborate with somebody on something like that, then I would be totally open to that. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I would really revisit on my own, like by myself.
I understand. Because I'm like, I was just talking to Ate EI earlier today, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know what? I've been listening to this new podcast. It's about holistic psychology and, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I've been always, I really want to become one. Like a psychologist, but then when I was younger, they were like, oh, I think you're better working at a hotel, you know, and, you know, Filipino families, they'd be like, wherever, you know, the money is, it's growing. I mean, if you can be a nurse, then be a nurse. If you can work at a hotel, then work at a hotel. And so I had to take HRM, but then, you know, sometimes I'd be like, what if I took, psychology, and because I really want to be a psychiatrist, you know, I've been always imagining myself having my own clinic, you know, interviewing people, counseling, you know, diagnosing people about their mental issues and stuff. My sister, you know, at the EI, she was like, oh yeah, I think you can still pursue that. But then I'm like, should I study for 10 years? I mean,
right? Yeah, so that you can, no, absolutely. But I think what people and you need to really consider is that, like, to everybody, it always has to be like a formal approach to something new, you know. So it's like in your mind, like, we are just trained to be like, you have to go to school and you have to learn about it and then you can become, right? And for stuff that's service-based like that, there's so many different outlets. Like, there's, you know, like, I have a business coach now, you know, that I just started with. And yeah, she, you know, was a psychology major and stuff like that, but that's not what she ended up doing. That this was her pivot during the pandemic, was going back to what initially interested her before she was like, oh, let me go to where the money is, or let me go to where, you know. But I think that people really need to just get it out of their heads that there's a whole formality that they have to you know, it's like you'll cross that bridge when you get there.
Mm.
If you feel like this is what you really want to do, you know, see how you can provide a service to people, like exactly what it is that you are interested in providing to them, whether yeah. if it's, you know, like life coaching or actual like clinical stuff, because yeah. that's two different paths. You know, you can go to school and end up in one. You didn't even need to spend 10 years. You could have just spent two, like mm. learning and practicing, right? So, that's my tidbit on that.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that we should stop or refrain from thinking that we always need to start formally, because yeah. and you're right, there are a lot of options now out there that I can, you know, do and try, and maybe I can, I don't know, we don't know, maybe in the future I can be a life coach, maybe not a life coach, or maybe something I can study clinically, or yeah. I don't know, maybe, let's see, maybe when my son is already like maybe in college or after college, I mean, right, but we'll yeah. see. I want to talk about you being a philanthropist. How did you start being one, or what was your inspiration to become one?
So I want to define that really fast, because I think people think, you know, when I'll always like redefining stuff, right?
Yeah, I know, you're right. You're right.
But like, you know, philanthropy isn't just donating money. It's not like rich people donating money. It's so much more than that. And that's the last thing that it is to me. And I feel like I always have to add philanthropist to a title or whatever of mine, because I want people to know the differences, you know, like I want people to know that there's so much more than just being a millionaire sitting outside sipping your coffee and writing checks. You know, I think philanthropy has a lot to do with time, giving time, providing influence to, you know, those organizations or causes that really mean something to you. So for me, I was a member. So the YMCA is a really big nonprofit organization, you know, like all over the world, but we have one here close by. And that's where, you know, after having my kids, I kind of went to like work on myself, right? So self-care stuff. Mm. And so that's kind of how I got involved with philanthropy in a bigger picture. But, you know, I think we've always, you know, donated items or did community service by serving time. Like all of that is philanthropy. Like if you go to a beach to pick up trash as part of an event or on your own, like that's, you know, a form of philanthropy.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, time and influence are two big factors that could really help you gain a bigger audience and talent and more money, if you know, because a lot of it is really funding based. But yeah, so okay. That's kind of how I started, was through the why, and like my outlook on the world became different when I became a mom. So
yeah, no, that's true, you know, right? I'm glad that you mentioned that, because when I got here in Batangas, so it's near the beach, right? So we would go there, and then there's just so much trash. It was totally different from now. And I started connecting to people that I know who can help me. And I've been having meetings with these people, exchanging emails of my suggestions. I've been sending pictures. I hope that the project will be like implemented. I just want to mention that, because you're so right about it. I'm not sure if that would fit into the philanthropy category, but with regard to the time and, you know, outlook now is different from before. I guess I can relate to what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you're doing something for the greater good, I think is some, you know, form of that.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about, how do you set your goals and how attain it? How do you do your best? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I mentioned that there are a lot of people who struggle when it comes to finishing something, or they have a goal, but they're not really prepared for the journey, or there's no end goal. There's the journey, but there's no end goal. So what is your advice? How do you do yours?
So I look at things differently. I name things differently, so it's attainable. So I think, you know, you have your big vision, right? And your big vision for yourself is, you need to understand, is fluid. It's going to change constantly, all the freaking time, right? And, you know, back and forth, all of that. I consider goals to be like little bites of things. So as part of the journey. So the goal isn't the big thing being up on the mountain. The goals are sewn into the journey up to that bigger vision. You know, goals are obviously, your stepping stones, right? But if you cut that down into more manageable pieces, then you will feel more successful, and that will, you know, it will propel everything else to get to the bigger vision. So for example, you know, with Cake Pops, it's, you know, a goal is to be able to work successfully with melting chocolate. Like that's, you know, once, it takes time, but you're going to get that down eventually, right? And that's part of, you know, going. So you can actually have a lot of little goals at the same time, which get you further in where you want to be. And I think that visualizing yourself doing all of these small things has a bigger impact than saying, I want to sell $10,000 worth of Cake Pops by the end of the year. It's like, you know, that goal is so, it's 12 months away. Like you really don't know how you're doing in between there. Like, yeah, okay, maybe you're selling, you know, 1,000 each month or whatever. That's a practical way to visualize that goal. Mm-hmm. But I think that it shouldn't just be about numbers. I think that there's a whole lot more in between, you know, that happens, yeah, that people don't give themselves credit for. So filing your business license, that's a goal. That's something that you can check off your list. You know, looking into how much it's going to cost to start up a website. It's another thing. Just the research, not even starting the website, you know.
Where do you think people struggle finishing something that they started? Like most people are like that. I used to be like that. And I struggle with finishing something. But then it takes a lot of self-talk and I just have to change the way I think. Mm-hmm. But is that also your strategy? Is that also your...
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's a quote that's in my mind that says, you know, if you don't know the answer, try reframing the question. So, you know, to keep what you want in perspective, it's all in you. You know, it's all in the way that you see things and the way you go about doing things. So, and that's made the biggest difference, really. Even now, like, I mean, I still am constantly struggling. I'm still constantly stuck, you know, finishing something that you start, like, you know, what really does that mean? Does that mean like, you know, finally launching the business? Because technically you're not finished. You really have just started, you know? So it's a lot of starts and stops. And like how I was mentioning, you know, your goals should be like little bites of things. I think it makes it easier to keep going and to keep that momentum. Because if, you know, if your goal is too lofty and you're like, okay, well, it's already August 19th. I haven't sold anything this month. I'm not going to make my $1,000 goal this month. You know, like what's the point of keeping trying? Like, yeah, you know, versus saying, okay, well, it's August 19th. Yeah. I have 10 more days, 11 more days in this month, you know, but I have next month and to make up for that, you know, like instead of quitting on yourself because you feel like you've already passed a point of no return, like you have to keep your eye forward, you know, like you can't think that way. It's just, yeah,
no, you're right. Reframing your statement. You're right. I really like what you just said. Because earlier today, I have an example or a personal experience about that. It's not about business, but it's about my job. These past few days, I've been working alone, though I have, you know, my team. But then I was like overwhelmed and really stressed, and I'm starting to get pissed and mad about, you know, it can get overwhelmed and it's time pressure. But then I had to pause and breathe. One of my practical, that's how I tap actually, sorry. That's how I tap myself to go back to the present when I'm starting being like that. So I just had to change the way I think about it. And also I have to agree with you creating your goals small and realistically, because it's more achievable, whatever that is. You're right. I agree.
Yeah. And it doesn't, and you're right, it doesn't even have to be about work. Like, you know,
yeah.
I feel for me, this is my third week doing this because the girls are finally back in school, but this is something that I used to enjoy doing, you know, where I took like an hour in the morning and did whatever, right?
If
I walk, I run, whatever, go somewhere even to sit for an hour. You know, and then that makes all the difference in the rest of the day and the way, you know, it kind of like grounds you, right?
That's true. Start. I want to talk about your Chris Dry Goods. That started during the pandemic. Am I right?
Yeah. So that started, I launched it in May. Of this year. But and it's a struggle, big time.
But how did you start?
So I've always wanted, you know, like I've never done retail ever in my life. I've always been in like service and food, you know, things like that. So I felt that back then too, like I felt that it was such a good fit that since I do food and then, you know, I'm not formally in that industry, but I still do like the little vlogs and, you know, social media and stuff, that I could sell product as well. And have that be kind of like passive, you know, for just something else to have, you know, to complement things that I'm already doing. And so I started in December to really kind of start thinking about it, because it is an online based business. So I don't have to worry about having a shop, all that stuff. And so I'm starting small. Like I have a little bit of, I have like 30 something items, and I have, you know, small inventory that I have in the closets in my house and stuff, just to see like how it would do. I was thinking, you know, like, I can do a store, I can sell stuff, and that's it, you know, like, and there's so much more to it. And it, you know, the marketing aspect is really what I have to dig into more, but there's always challenges, you know.
Do you have a team, or do you do it all by yourself?
I don't have a team. I do it all by myself, so, you know, I'm as busy as I want to be. Like that is I will trade all of the money in the world working for myself, having the flexibility and knowing, like, I believe in when I'm developing, you know, like I know that whatever it is gonna come eventually.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, if it's money or if I do like get to the bigger vision that changes every day, right? Like,
what are your ways of dealing with like small failures, frustrations, disappointments, non-achievement? I know that you mentioned that it's always, you try to change the way you think, but what else, like this current situation that you're in?
Yeah, I think, you know, changing the way you think and also being like super real with yourself and the situation, you know, like for me, it's like, okay, well, I thought that I would sell so much more in, you know, from when I launched to now, and that hasn't been the case. And it's kind of like, well, I, you know, like, why is this failing? Like, it's all of these like whys, right? Yeah. Instead of how can I improve? Like, where is it that I'm lacking you know, and I know where I'm lacking, but I have to put time into figuring that out. You know, so it's kind of like you just have to take that breath and
always
long breath. And you know, it's not a reset, but you just have to be really real. Like you can't place blame on something that doesn't exist, you know? Like you have to figure out why it's not working and fix it. It's like fixing a mechanical thing. It's like fixing a car. Like it's not going to start if all the parts aren't in its place, you know? And you know, if you do get it started, but then it fails, you got to figure out what it is. So,
and sometimes you have to just take a step back. Because sometimes when we experience failures or disappointments, we tend to like focus on that emotion and that one thing that happened. But then if you try to step back, and I like that you mentioned that the be real and look at other areas of improvement or what else you can develop, instead of just focusing on the why you failed or why you got disappointed about something.
Yeah, it's always about mindset. Yeah, like you just have to be really real with yourself, and not like you can beat yourself up, but you have to beat yourself up and talk to yourself to move forward. And you know, like that kind of constructive beat up, not like
it's a lot of self-talk and assessment. If you were to give your younger self some advice, what would that be?
I think that the biggest lessons is to know your worth, like, you know, and not to dumb yourself down or make yourself smaller than you feel you are.
Before we wrap up this episode, I think, Chris, I just want to ask you, what are you currently working on and what's up next for you that you're excited about?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm working on the Chris Dragons right now. and I really, so my goals for that I'm working on, and my bigger vision of how I can get everything that I've been doing to intersect. So that's kind of where my mind's been at. Where my free time has also been at. but yeah, that's what I'm excited about right now, is to really define what I want.
I love ultimately. It. Where can people follow you? I mean, your website, anything that you would like to promote?
Yeah, the best place would be on Instagram at Chris Galicia Brown. I do have three websites. Chris Dry Goods is one. That's probably the one where I want the most traffic to go. And I also have a blog there where I'm going to be sharing recipes and things like that. And
I'm going to ask about that. Yeah. Like, where do you post those recipes?
So the recipes are on chrisgaliciabrown.com, but they will slowly migrate to Chris Dry Goods. So there is a blog there, and that will be, I think I'm going to post once a week starting next week. That was also another fail thing. So yeah, I wanted to do every week when I first launched, but that just wasn't practical. So, but now it's going to keep going.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I just watched, what was this, Denzel? Oh, The Equalizer. And so Denzel Washington said, progress, not perfection. And it's been on my mind, like, just do it every day, you know, practice. And you don't need to be perfect. You just practice.
I just want to share too, like my mantra, my current mantra that I share with people all the time, that I recite in my head all the time, is everything that you want is on the other side of fear. So whatever it is that you are worried about or whatever, you just need to, everything that you want is always on the other side of that.
I love it. I'll keep that in mind. Yay. Hey, thank you so much, Ate Chris, for sharing your time with me and the Late Nights by Luna Manila. Good luck with your Chris Dry Goods, and I hope to see you soon.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Bye, ate.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Share with us what you've learned from this episode. I love reading your feedback. Please follow us on Instagram. It's Luna_Manila. Till our next episode.